Good morning. Greetings to each one of you. In the name of Jesus, I too welcome you to the service this morning. It's a blessing to be here. Those thoughts have been shared already. We thank you for that. Brother Ed, Brother Toby, thank you for that inspiration to our hearts this morning. Can we rise for a word of prayer? Father, we do thank you for another opportunity this morning to gather in your name. We bless your holy name for another holy opportunity to gather this morning together as brethren, as followers of Jesus Christ, as children of the Most High. Worshipping, adoring, hearts are turned towards you with much thanksgiving as you have given us one more opportunity to gather and worship in your name. Father, may your word come forth, spirit and power as it has already. Thank you for the song service this morning. Thank you for hearts that are turned towards you, the eyes and the minds of our faith, the eyes of our faith looking and beholding the glorious King, who is the King of this kingdom that we are a part of. And Father, we thank you for loving us as a father loves his children and looking down upon us in a beautiful way to instruct us by your word, by your spirit this morning. Father, we do look to you. We thank you again for this opportunity. Father, I pray that you would speak to us, continue to speak as you have spoken, continue to speak, Lord, the truth of your word, that we may be conformed more into that glorious image of Jesus Christ. Father, who is the author, the finish of our faith, the just one, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we sung about this morning. May you truly have preeminence in each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do thank you, Brother Ed, for that scripture there. Wisdom is justified for children. There's a time, there's a way that time reveals things, and it's just in God's eyes and timing, it's beautiful if the choices are made for His glorious purpose. The title of a few thoughts this morning we have is Placing Value on My Brother. And we're going to be looking at a few other things in order to get there. So you just bear with me. First of all, we're going to look at the body of Christ. just a few thoughts there. These are, you might say, elementary things. But if the gospel of Jesus Christ was elementary, I'm not sure that I could get it. So I appreciate the simplicity of the gospel. And maybe it's because I view myself as to be a simple man. There's some confounding things there, but there's also some simple side of it. So the body of Christ. So I think it on simple terms, the body of Christ. You know, it's a body. Maybe I can draw something to try to illustrate what I'm picturing. I'm not an artist either, so. But we'll give it a shot. We have those verses in Ephesians where it talks about being fitly framed together. Also, being members of one another. Corinthians talks about some of those things also. Romans being members of one body, Christ as being the head. But so we have this picture of being fitly framed together. It speaks of a building. And those of you that have been involved in building or in construction know some of the terms that I might be using. But we have a house or a shed house. Let's look at the house part of it. You have the framework. It's hard to draw something like this, showing the insides of it, and still have the. Okay, how do I want to do this? I'm going to try to display some inner things here that most people, when they go walking in the house, cannot see if they weren't involved in building it. Yeah, you won't be able to see it, but I'll try to explain it. So, there's parts of a building that you just never see. First of all, if you don't have a basement, but you do, all buildings should have a foundation. They're required to have foundations in our time. But if it's just the crawl space, you usually don't see the foundation. But it's very important. But you don't see it. It's not. For the most part, it's not seen by eye. Also, we would have it down here too, but in these joists, where you stand on, in your house, there's what they call floor joists that are running throughout the house. And most generally, those floor joists will have what they call bridging. Little pieces of wood, cross-section between those joists that helps stabilize to keep that joist straight so they don't buckle, and because they bear the most weight when they're straight up and down, and if you take a 2x10 on its side, it's springy, so we need to keep those straight. But you don't see it. You walk in a house, you don't see it. It's all covered up by drywall and flooring and the nails that are in there. They're in there the lifetime of the building, but nobody ever sees it. And when we think of the body of Christ in these ways, there's also these nailers that get placed on there. And I've been to a job where those got forgotten. And it's just frustrating. There's nailers around the perimeter of the ceiling. There's nailers underneath there of some type that get nailed to the plate to help nail the drywall to when you put the ceiling on. All you construction guys know exactly what I'm talking about. But if that little detail gets forgotten, it's just your ends are going to be bouncing and you won't be able to finish the project. So there's a lot of things that are unseen to somebody that walks in a building. Oh, this is a nice building. But they fail to see what's behind holding it up, the studdings, the plates. We know that they're there because the walls are upright and they're staying. But then there's some things that are seen, they're obvious. The door standing out front, the doorknob on the door, and those things that are out front, the siding, the roof, maybe the chimney sticking out, the top of the roof. But all those details are needful for this structure. So we have the body of Christ. Members in particular. So when we view the whole, it's beautiful, but it takes many members to make the whole. Members, one of another. Different functions. We have different functions. There's different pieces that have different functions in this building. Different giftings. According to the grace that has been given, as it says in Romans 12. And we are to show the purpose of this whole is to show to the powers and principalities the manifold wisdom of God. Some verses down. I'm not finding them here. Sorry. Just some verses in Ephesians. In whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Also in 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and edifying itself in love. And just the purpose for the giftings. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the purpose for the giftings there. So we have a body of Christ. Members one of another. Each one has a purpose in the whole. Each one of us has a purpose in the whole. There's not one of us that can say, I am not of any value. I have no purpose in the congregation of the saints. I have no part in a body of Christ. There's not one of us can say that. God has given, if you're a child of God, God has given each one of us a special place in His kingdom. Next thing we want to look at here is one anothering. This is something that I've been looking at, or maybe God is teaching me on, or I'm not sure how to say it, in the New Testament, knowing that it was there, always knowing that it was there, but not realizing the depth of it, not realizing how much it was there, maybe I would say, but it's there. This aspect of one anothering permeates the New Testament. I don't know if you ever looked at that in Scripture, in the light of one anothering throughout the New Testament, but it permeates it. It's everywhere. It's all throughout. And love overshadows it all. The love of one another overshadows it all. That's in there most often. Because God is love. It's coming from something or someone that is the very make of Him is love. God is love. And He sets the stage when He gave His Son as a sacrificial lamb. For God so loved the world. That's what He was made of. That's what He is. That's who He is. So He can't be anything else. He can't be any other than love. All that He does and all that He is stems from His being loved. And if this is not present in whatever our comings and goings are, then we have missed it. It is an impossibility. It is an impossibility to really love as Christ loved without Christ. So in order to love as Christ loved, There must be an obvious abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. It can be no other way, according to 1 John. And it is by this power, this grace of God flowing, that enables us to one another. Because some of this one anothering goes contrary to the desires of the flesh. I'm going to ask for your help here. And there's some things that come to your mind on this aspect of one anothering that's in the Gospels, that is in the New Testament. There's quite a few that I have written down. I'm not going to say how many I have written down, but maybe we can write some things on the board and you just call them out and I'll try to keep up writing them. Different ways the Bible teaches us to one another. Anyone? So, with a pure heart. Love one another with a pure heart. Yeah. Different aspects of one another. Not just that love is in there, but there's other ways than just love overshadows it. That there's other descriptions, other vocabulary words that is used in the context of one anothering. Am I making myself clear? Sorry. Bear burdens. Go ahead. Restore. Exhort. Amen.
Be kind.
Forrest, I've seen your hand. Forgive, amen. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're not even fourth done. Pray. Lay down. Are we done? Lie not, yeah.
Well,
or lay down, you mean?
Love. You don't have love.
Okay, yeah. Love encompasses everything, really. I mean, but you have words like judge not. That is in the context of one anothering. That one another is in the phrase in Scripture. Did you have something? Alan. Okay.
Serve.
That's right. It's a big one. I can just read them off too. Some of them. Minister. Have peace. To have peace one with another. Wash one another's feet. To love. Be kindly affection. We have that one. Be of the same mind. Edify. Not to envy. We are to receive. We are to be like-minded. We're not to judge one another. We're to admonish or salute / greet. It's the same. I just counted that as one. Hospitable, courteous, pitiful, not to be puffed up before one another, not to go to law against one another. It says to tarry, to have the same care, to serve, bear burdens. One aspect is not to provoke. It's the negative side of provoke. Then the other side is to provoke unto love and good works. Don't bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed. Submitting / subjecting, those were used, but they have the same meaning. Forbearing, forgiving, tenderhearted. We are to comfort one another, lie not, we have that one. Esteem one another, prefer, we have that one. Exhort, we are to consider, speak not evil, grudge not, we are to pray for. We are to confess our faults one to another, and have compassion one to another, and have fellowship one with another. I don't know that I got them all, but that was over 40. So we get the picture. Or maybe we try to get the picture. This is a high calling. But when we realize the purpose of the church, we realize God's expectation and why He calls us to be the light and salt of the world. This practice of one anothering shoves self right out the door. There can be no room for self. If these principles are practiced, there's no room for it. But yet, we struggle with this. Or maybe I'm alone. Always looking beyond self. Always looking away from self. Always giving. One anothering. Seeing to the needs of others. What kind of community must this be if and when these things are truly happening? How would this look like? Now we want to break this up and look at only one of these. And one of you mentioned it, and it's up here on the board. It's preferring. I want to read two portions of Scripture here. One of them is in Philippians, chapter 2. I'll just read verses 1 through 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. But in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it goes on there. And turn over to Romans 12. This is where we're going to spend some time here. This is in the context of what we talked about earlier, us being members one of another. All members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body of Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And He has given gifts, and not everybody received the same in that way. So we want to look at some of these words here that are used in this context. So in verse 10 of Romans 12 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I think that'd be a good verse for us to memorize. So we have a few words here. Back in Philippians, before we forget here, we have on verse 3, we have, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lowliness of mind is interpreted in another place, is also used in humility. It says a humility of mind. So when we think of, when we read lowliness of mind, we think of humility, humbleness of mind. And to esteem, it says, in this context, in this humility of mind, let each one of us esteem other better than ourselves. Esteem is to set high value on, or to regard with reverence. So that goes with our theme verse, I believe, as we turn to Romans 12:10. To be kindly affectionate, that word phrase, and also brotherly love, has the idea in it of fraternal. Fraternal meaning brotherly. In a family setting where there is love in the home, where there is love for one another in the home, where there is a brotherly, who knows you like your brother? You grow it up with him. You went out the bar and did chores with him. And when I use the term brother, maybe sisters can apply this in your own way. Sorry, I'm not a sister, but so all this is going to be brother to me. So be kindly affectionate. And brotherly love has a fraternal, and it's to cherish one's kindred. When it comes to family ties, there's just a special connection that goes with that. And God ordained it. That's right and good. That's why I believe that so often in Scripture that this idea of brother, we call it a brotherhood, this brother is implied or used, is the close connection, the family ties, the close bloodlines, the close communion, the close interaction, the relationships as parents with children or children with parents, brother to brother, sister to sister, sister to brother. There's just a closer connection than what you have in John Henry that you meet down at the gas station. That there's just a closer tie. And this is the idea that is given here in this be kindly affectionate. This is a fraternal. This is a feeling of closeness, brotherly. Proverbs 18:24, the latter part says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Given the idea of brother being very close. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor. And this is the word that comes into our title. Placing value on my brother. Honor of a conglomeration of Webster's, of Strong's, different definitions together. We have words like value, valuables, esteem, precious, price, in honor. In honor, preferring one another, preferring to show deference to, a yielding in opinion of judgment to another. A yielding in opinion of judgment to another. Respect. Preferring. Regarding above others. So this whole idea of valuing. Now we go out and purchase something. When we pay the price, we are saying, yes, this thing is this valuable. And we are saying that that is the price that is, the sticker price that is on this object. We buy it. We're saying, yes, I agree that this is this valuable. So I pay the price and take it home. I value it so much that I'm willing to pay the price. Or we really want something, but we're not willing to pay the marked price, so we try to Jew them down, saying, it's not worth that much. I won't want it. It's worth something, but not that much. So we see if we can't get it for a better price. Or we simply walk away saying, it's way overpriced. There's no way. First of all, I don't need it that bad. Next of all, it's way overpriced. It's not valued for that much. There's no way it's even worth that much. And I'm not going to pay for it. Our valuables. We protect our valuables. We protect our valuables. The valuable things that we have, we protect. We think of our wives. We think of our children. We don't want them to get hurt. Or we actually value our children enough to not give them all they want. We even value our children so much that we might even discipline them. Then we have other valuables like certain documents. We try to keep them in a safe place because we are placing certain value upon them. And so we protect them. We put them in a confined place. Maybe we put them in a locked drawer. We don't want them to be lost, destroyed, stolen. We want to keep them safe because we are placing certain value on them. Then we have this concept in verse 10, in honor, preferring. We are called to place value upon each other. More than ourselves. In honor preferring, what does it say? Preferring one another. Placing more value upon each other, upon the other, than myself. Your opinion matters more to me than my own. Your ideas are worth more to me than my own. I value you. You take the lead. I value who you are, the wisdom that you have, the abilities God gave you, the things you do. I couldn't do them better or even as good. And I'm placing value on you. So you take the lead and I'll follow. Show me how. Maybe we get this backwards. I often think of when I was a young boy. Oftentimes we go to our cousin's place or go back to when we have church at our houses. We would, the host family would often invite families back for supper. And there's always activities. You know, a lot of times it was kickball for us younger ones. And so when you're younger, you ask the older ones, can I play? And especially when you were younger, you would get a response, yeah, but your outs and runs don't count. You know, what's the purpose of playing if my outs and runs don't count? It's like, just took the pin and run in the balloon and just, you know, there's no purpose of playing. There's no joy of playing. But see, they didn't realize how fast I could run, how far I could kick, how good I was. They didn't realize all that. You can play, but your outs and runs don't count. So if my outs and runs don't count, what was the purpose of playing? But here I was, full of self-worth, promoting myself, vying for position. And when you just say, when they just say your outs and runs don't count, you can just sit down and cry. Because I'm worth more than that. We just recently had opportunity to value our brothers' giftings over leadership meetings. But how would it be, Danny's not here, so I don't think he'll mind me using this illustration. If every day I would go to other brothers, brother or brothers, and say, did you see how Danny was parking them cars? He put all the big bands over on this end. Did you see how he was doing that? I mean, it's the silliest thing. If he would only do this and that, he could. I just don't think he knows what he's doing. Every day there was something towards the one doing it. Every day there's just lack of appreciation. I'm not placing any value on Danny. And it's not building up the way we are called to do. It's not blessing. When again we think of the light that we are called to be and display Christ, it's not a Christ-like attitude. It's negative, tearing down. And if Danny is grumbling out there, wishing he could be in where it's warm, he won't receive a blessing either. It's hard to honor someone that just don't measure up to our standards. It's hard to place value upon a brother who is lower than you and I on the totem pole. Our selfish nature is only concerned about promoting self and finds it hard to take the back seat. Acts 20, verse 19. Says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Humility of mind, that's the same phrase, word picture as we get as in Philippians, lowliness of mind. But serving the Lord in that context. Third John 1:9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This Diotrephes, he loved to have preeminence. He loved the fondness of being first. He loved the ambitious of distinction, superiority in rank. Wanted to be seen and honored. That's what Diotrephes loved. Here's a quote of a conversation between two persons. Don't necessarily agree with it all, but it brings out a point. I know not, said one, that I neglect to do anything in my power to promote the interests of true religion in this place. And yet, I seem to be held in very little esteem. Scarcely any person even notices me. To which the other replied, my good friend, set yourself down for nothing. And if any person takes you for something, it will be all clear gain. Again, it is hard to prefer someone that we place no value upon. We stay lofty in our own views when we feel it's my duty to balance every message, when we hardly have a compliment, good, positive word to say, but only criticism, negative, demeaning, maybe even cynical. I don't believe God will honor that. There is self-worth, self-righteousness that flows from an attitude like that. You know, we can see or pick up this attitude in others pretty easy, maybe even falsely. But the challenge is somehow we are able to justify or think it's not so bad in us. If everybody would be like me, everything would be pretty good. I have a big frowny face right on the end of that comment there. How would it be if everybody would be like me? Maybe we can ask that question. We're talking about placing value on my brother. In honor, preferring. Placing value. There are things in every brother that he is gifted with. And it's an asset to a brotherhood. When I purpose in our hearts to place value on our brother, we can see his strengths and honor him for it, not even thinking what my strength might be. This is a form of humility of mind or lowliness of mind. When I can realize that he is way better in certain areas than I am, and realizing that he is valuable in the brotherhood, and because of him, the body is strengthened, more precious, of higher price. Our conversations around the kitchen table or living room must be all about building up and not tearing down. In how we talk about individuals, it really matters to our children, and they do pick it up. They also pick up insinuations, maybe not just coming out and saying it, but they've got to live with you long enough that they know your insinuations. You don't come out and say it. We don't come out and say it. But they recognize their attitudes towards individuals. What about the church and its directions? Do we place value on, or are we out to change it to my flavor, idea, and likings? What is the price that we put on my brothers? Our attitudes will produce fruit. There will be a harvest. Is it what I want 100-fold of? It's the question we must ask ourselves. Is what I'm promoting, is the ideas that I have and that I'm betraying to my children, is it what I want 100-fold of? Do my children know that I honor and respect my brothers, not only in theory, but in reality? My attitude will repeat itself. I will make copies. There will be duplications made, and probably to a greater degree. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend of men of low estate. Be not wise in our own conceits. It says, mind not high things. It says, be of the same mind one to another. It says, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. This truly is a gift of grace to be able to do this. It doesn't say condemn. It says condescend. To come down with, submit or yield to an inferior. But self promotes. Self wants to sit high. Higher position, to be seen, to be noticed, to be honored, to be praised. Sometimes in doing that, we have to tear others down or to step on them a little bit. It makes us feel better. We can do this with actions and words. Or maybe we've done it this way. just simply ignore. We sometimes ignore people, right? I've done it. It's not right. No value. Place no value on them. No respect of their person. Place a no value. Also, when we keep pushing our ways, our thoughts, our agendas, we have the best idea. If only you would hear me. Maybe, sometimes, it's best to be quiet and put ourselves under and lift up instead. A very good way to support and lift up a brother, probably the best way, is to pray. You want a hidden ministry? Pour your soul out before God and stay there. Pray. Breathe it. Walk it. Live in it. Be it. Bring yourself under and lift up with your hidden work. Young people, please get a vision for this. This will carry you through life. This is a great work, and I tell you, I believe there are more battles won on our knees than making noise and voicing self. This is a battleground in itself. If you don't believe me, try to commit to it. You will be amazed how many excuses and distractions that come. Even in Saturday morning prayer meetings, the enemy has so many things he flings in our path to try to deter us from even coming. Committing to pray for one another is a way of putting or placing value on him more than myself. Doing things for others, spending my time for someone else's benefit, is a wonderful ministry. Only eternity will reveal its true benefits. I remember here a while ago, I'm going to use this just to refer to it here. Andy Hildy made a comment on one time about going through the food line. And I'm just going to use it here. He commented on a cake. He commented on a piece on a cake set out there in the food line. We'll use a cake. It could be anything for that matter. Okay, I don't know how you were taught at home. And maybe you weren't. I don't know. Maybe this wasn't any big deal. So we have corner pieces. We have end pieces. We have corner pieces. And so somebody just comes and just goes right down the center. Keeps on going down the center. And leaving the end pieces all the way around. This happens here. Right out here. It happens all the time. Maybe it's what I was taught at home that it affects me like it does. But when I'm one of the last ones through line and you see that thing cut out all the way around, that is not honoring and preferring somebody else. That's saying, I deserve that centerpiece more than anybody else. It's simple. It has to reach into our everyday life. It has to. If it doesn't, then what is it? And you know what? You can teach your children the same way. You can. You can teach them. You can teach them to take the piece, next piece that's in the line, and just go down like that. It's possible. My brother deserves a better peace than I do. It may just be preference. I can take that. But I believe it's a form of honoring and preferring. We can apply it various ways. You fill in the blank. But the blessing of it is, if I've done it. If I've been guilty of these things, we praise God that the door of repentance stays open. We have opportunity to bow our hearts. When we walk with the Lord, with God, each one of us, in humility of mind, placing value upon my brother, more value than myself, we make the kingdom more attractive, more beautiful, fitly framed, compacted, glued together, strengthened, built up, loving, a blessing. Why? To show the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. I'm going to close with a quote. Subjected with this verse. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. It's a paragraph. The word preferring means going before, leading, setting an example. Thus, in showing mutual respect and honor, they were to strive to excel, not to see which could obtain most honor, but which could confer most, or manifest most respect. Thus, they were to be studious, to show to each other all the respect which was due in the various relations of life. Children, to show proper respect to parents, parents to children, servants to their masters, etc. And all to strive by mutual kindness to promote the happiness of the Christian community. How different this from the spirit of the world. The spirit which seeks not to confer honor, but to obtain it, which aims not to diffuse respect, but to attract all others to give honor to us. If this single direction were to be obeyed in society, it would put an end at once to no small part of the envy and ambition and heartburning and dissatisfaction of the world. It would produce contentment, harmony, love and order in the community, and stay the progress of crime, annihilate the evils of strife and discord and malice, and especially, it would give order and beauty to the church. It would humble the ambition of those who, like Diotrephes, love to have preeminence, and make every man willing to occupy the place for which God has designed him, and rejoice that his brethren may be exalted to higher posts of responsibility and honor.